We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pregnant ladies and little kids better get the hell out of the way because I am running. I'm like Forrest Gump, dude. I am running. So the Titanic was the biggest ship on the ocean, but that didn't mean it was unsinkable.
Okay. I want you each to use ombudsman in a sentence next week.
I got one for you. My name is Kevin, the official ombudsman of the Just Press Play podcast. You like apples?
Welcome back into another edition of the Just Press Play podcast. Kevin here, joined by Uncle Tony. LJ, what's going on, fellas?
What's up?
Pops was unable to make it, but Tony, it should be no surprise that LJ was able to make it because, I mean, dare I say, are the Broncos back? Broncos country, let's ride. Three-game winning streak, two of those being the Bills and Chiefs. LJ, what? Is the Super Bowl already headed to Denver?
Probably. I mean, you
the
know,
Lombardi
you
get, Trophy, you get, is it already en route?
We're a little Walmart drunk. You know what I mean? We're a little Walmart drunk. But no, absolutely not. They tried to give that away so many times. That game was a misery to watch as a fan of both teams. I just felt like that was some of the worst football I saw this weekend, which is saying a lot because most of these
there was some bad football.
Were bad teams keeping it together till the end of the fourth quarter, but bad teams all together.
Specifically, LJ, there was some bad primetime football, and somehow y'all might have found a way to be one of the, I don't know. Yeah. It was entertaining a little, but it was because it felt like both teams were punch drunk and trying to figure out.
It was entertaining in the way that high school football is entertaining, or middle school football even. You ever watch a JV seventh grade team?
James Cook somehow fumbling to no one. Josh Allen just can't help but just fling it all over the field and throw some picks.
Broncos then, are missing every kick opportunity they got. The refs just save them half the time.
At the end, I'm not exactly sure what we're doing there where, like, I guess you're trying to make it to the very last play, but now you're, like, sprinting your field goal team on there.
I will say, I do think that that is the only reason that they got that second opportunity. I think it turns out it's brilliant. The Broncos have done this historically a few times.
Is it brilliant or do they just catch the Bills being dumb?
I mean, first off, I do not know. I do not know. Yeah, true. I do not know.
So for the people at home, if you didn't catch on, the Broncos are at a field goal, wins the game for them, and they're in a very makeable spot, and they run a play with no timeouts.
They kneel it and get it in position where they want it. So the clock's still running.
And they're sprinting the guys out there to come kick.
Yeah, they do the whole personnel swap. So, you know, of the 11 guys that are out there, probably only five stay. It's probably the offensive line and that's it. Even the center probably changes because I bet they have a different long snapper. So it's probably four guys stay. And then the defense has to swap quick, which is, I think, probably the advantage there. And then the other team didn't have timeouts to ice them and get the right personnel on. And so then for a 41-yard field goal that Will Lutz probably should be able to make, he misses. But lo and behold, penalty call.
12
men on the field. And so what I don't understand is if I'm a Buffalo Bills special teams player and I'm on the kick block team, I can't imagine that change. There's not many play calls that change that. Like you're probably, you know, whether you're one of those 11 guys, right? Surely.
Yeah. Unless somebody's hurt and then they're not hurt.
Well, so then maybe that's the thing, right? That could be the whole crux. I don't know. I hadn't even thought of that, but that might be the whole thing.
So there. I do think the 12th man on the field may have been Damar Hamlin, who was in the game. He started playing. He played his first like snap on Monday night because an injury.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if that injury caused a little bit of a shakeup on the field goal block team.
Maybe.
Well,
but yeah, it's a,
yeah.
But I think that is why you rush that instead of doing the spike and kick. You do the kneeling kick so you can force the other team to be on their back foot. I do think that's why they did it. I can't imagine that they expected to have 12 men on the field. They needed to hit that field goal, but
yeah,
that's why I wanted to just challenge a little bit when LJ was like, it's smart because you get two chances at it. Like, well, yeah,
no, I never thought that. Bills. I just think that you you may, like, they may not have their rush ready to go. Like, they might not have a plan ready to go in time.
But maybe, like, Will Lutz also isn't ready because he's deep breathing because he's just sprinted out on the field.
And then we also, once you get that penalty, that pass interference call, the Bills know what's going to happen. They know it's going to be a field goal from here because we know Russ ain't striking. You only get one of those throws that they had last night. That's the only one he's going to get all year like that. But
so Tony, I know you were watching. You can touch on the end there. You can touch on the entire game.
And I'll talk about a couple of those things, but on the end there, the Broncos really screwed up because they couldn't spike it because it was fourth down, because Buffalo used all their times out and made them go to third down to run it. And then it was fourth down. So, but what they should have done on third down is, instead of just run it and then try to fling everybody out there, they should have dropped back and just send somebody to the back of the end zone and just chunk the ball up into the stands. That way the clock is killed. You've run off the time you need and you go. Cause the Bills did everything they could in that moment to say, okay, we're going to get them to third down. We know we can't stop the clock after that, but they're rushing guys on. I don't know why Peyton didn't know to say, okay, drop back and just chunk the ball to the back of the end zone. And so on third down, if he does that, clock stops, you got 30 seconds, you can run them out there, no problem. But he didn't do that. And so I found that to be pretty interesting when that happened. So,
well, I mean, you're not wrong, but I do think that is one of the fog of war moves that coaches might do, because I think everybody would have expected that's the right decision to make. And so to have to then rush out there when you don't know that they're not going to throw it on third down does probably put a little bit more onus on the Bills to be great. You know, they have to show up, and they just didn't. So
here's the
other, you know what also, oh, go ahead, Tom. Yeah,
well, here's the other thing I thought might happen. If the Bills had been really smart, they would
have. Okay, this is where I think I was going.
Let him go, right? And see if he's smart enough to lay down on the one. And if he's smart enough to lay down on the one, they may not have enough time to run 20 yards up and it, right? And so I thought, oh, wouldn't that be cool? But that didn't happen either. So,
Russ took it and he kneeled immediately, though, right? Like, there was no chance he was trying to run that. Yeah.
This is one that I don't think you have the answer, but I just think you'll enjoy this thought process, because I know you love to kind of, we can bend the rules maybe in a way that it helps us.
Sure.
So, when the offense subs, typically the ref stands over the ball, because once the offense subs, the defense now gets the allotted time to sub.
Right.
Could the Bills have just slow played it? They're getting their unit out there, and the ref would go, well, I got to give the defense time because y'all are subbing.
You know, honestly,
I can't rush them.
That's genius.
And I wonder, would time expire? Why the ref sat on the bar? Or the ref going to be like, well, should I got to stop? Like, you know, just, I don't know. I just wonder what the Bills
could
do.
I think there's some, like, reasonable expectation. I think, like, the deal is the Bills could have taken all the time and made that the last play, which it kind of was. If they hit that, it's game over. If they miss it, it's game over. Take your time and get 11 guys out there, not 12. But you're probably right. And I do think that there's probably a situation where the refs say, like, nah, this is, you know, the palpably unfair act, where they would say, no, we're putting 1 second back on the clock and we're letting this kick happen because, you know, it's going to happen. But also part of it is you might want Will Lutz to rush out there and have to kick a field goal.
Yeah.
So you might really want to, like, run your guys out there and make it as fast as possible. So.
Well, I'm just.
If you'd only had 11, you'd been absolutely right.
I know. They would have won that game, walked away. I was so mad. I was mad kind of at the end of the game, no matter how it happened. But when they missed that field goal, I no one wanted to talk to me for a good, like, 3 seconds until I saw the flag on the ground.
Well, Tone, the Bills now find themselves at 5-5. I guess they're still in the hunt. They're on the playoff graphic that shows up, but they are not in the playoffs if it ends right now. And they just fired their offense coordinator, Ken Dorsey. What is there trouble up in Buffalo? What do we think, Tony?
Yeah, I mean, there's been trouble all year. I don't think they would fire McDermott. I don't think they will. He's a really good coach. But defensively, we've talked about this on the pod all year. They've just been decimated with injuries on the defensive side, and they haven't been able to keep up. And Josh Allen's having a bad year. He you cannot give up the football like he's given it up and expect to have success. with the way the NFL is right now, because everybody is caught up. If there were three or four elite teams and you had all the talent, it's one thing. But that's not the case anymore for the Bills. And their defense, although they played good last night, I'm not saying it's a factor that they were playing the Broncos, LJ. But the defense played good last night, good enough to keep them in the game with five turnovers.
Yeah.
It just amazes. But still, they're just not there. And, they're something is out. They're just out of whack. They're just out of whack.
Well, and I think I saw someone, I think it was someone for the Ringer talking about this or tweeting this, but it almost feels like they were talking about that. So we remember the infamous 13 seconds game with the Bills and Chiefs, where the Bills scored, like the game was back and forth. And then Mahomes scores with 13 seconds left. And Allen's kind of, Josh Allen and the Bills are kind of playing like, we got to keep scoring because this team's going to keep scoring. We just got to keep our foot on the gas. And now it feels like Josh Allen almost, he doesn't know how to not play in that mode of, F it, keep going.
But isn't
keep
that pushing it. That's been the knock on Josh Allen? That's like literally the way he plays. He's a Brett Favre type, hopefully less picture messages. and so, you know, I think that's what you're going to get with him is you're gonna get him taking chances that he might not should take. And I will say that, you know, their turnovers have been outstanding this year, just on, you know, the opportunities of taking turnovers. We were talking before the pod that they have 8 fumbles on the year and 7 of them they've lost, which, you know, you compare it to the Bengals who have had 16 fumbles this year and only lost 6 of them. So, I mean,
it's one of those, the ball just like fumble luck. Someone does a little fumble luck statistic and it kind of shows.
I think they are losing fumble luck right now. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Now, I will say also, though, I think that the Bills have been resting on athleticism for the entire last couple of years. And they might be, outside of the Chiefs, the most athletic football team playing. But right now they're getting beat on strategy, basically week by week. And so I think that, I mean, Tony and I were talking before you popped on, Kev. I mean, that image of Josh Allen holding the back of his neck while they're doing that 12-man on the field call. I feel like this Bills team is done. I just feel like, I don't know how you recover from this. I mean, this is a team that got beat 70 to, you know, it doesn't matter, right? Versus the Dolphins. This is a dejecting loss. Like the Chiefs lost, like, I think a game that they probably should have won, but some shit happened or whatever. The Bills had every opportunity to win this football game and then just like nothing broke their way. I mean, I think I would be heartbroken to be in that locker room right now. And I think the Bills might be a different team in 2024 than they are in 2023.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm just looking at the Bills' upcoming games. The Jets next weekend should be able to win. Then they go at Eagles, at Chiefs, home for the Cowboys, at the Chargers.
Yeah.
And then Patriots, Dolphins. I mean, now I'm not saying they don't win maybe 500.
They should win half of those, but
but they go half of those and they're 500 on the year, and you might be on the outside looking in.
Definitely on the outside looking in right now.
Because I don't see the Texans losing a lot with the way they're playing.
CJ Stroud, y'all talked about CJ Stroud last week saying he probably can't keep doing this. I don't know. Oh, my God.
All right, let's go there,
El. I want one last thing. Before we leave the Bills, last thing. So we said this last week about Bijan Robinson, and it's interesting that Ken Dorsey got fired. That, and I'm not saying this because I've got him in 3 different leagues, but James Cook is a player.
Yeah.
Right? And why is he not? Why is Latavius Murray, 67-year-old Latavius Murray, out in the backfield at all these critical times?
The only thing has got to be that he knows
your fumble issues.
He knows the Broncos defense or something.
Yeah, no, it's not his fault. James Cook is averaging over 5 yards a carry. Why is he not getting the ball more? You've got to prescribe, and that's what I'm saying. They're outthinking themselves. You've got to get your athletes the ball. LJ's absolutely right. This is an athletic offense, but they're feeding the ball to Gabe Davis. They're Khalil Shakir. Stephon Diggs should get 15 targets a game.
James Cook Diggs,
should get 20 carries a game. There's no reason not to do that.
Yeah, Trayvon Diggs did tweet the brother of, or is that, are they brothers or cousins?
They're brothers.
Brother. For the corner for the Cowboys tweeted out, they got to get 14 up out of there.
Well, and then he also said, I don't know if you noticed that Josh Allen only popped off when Bro got there. but I mean, this is okay. So I'm going to say something that I think Bills fans are going to rejoice because we have such a good record of calling teams dead or great on the podcast and it being correct. But I'm saying that kind of stuff right there is exactly why the Bills are dead for the year. I don't even know that they go 500.
Because now, LJ, it feels like the similar way we were talking about the Cowboys last week. It's almost like the Bills are like the end of the game's coming up and you're like, not how are we going to win this, but how are we going to lose? Yeah. Like you start fearing, how are we going
to
blow
what
this?
What are we about to
and
give
as soon
away?
As you start thinking, what are we going to do to blow it? Then you're going to make the play. When you're worried about, am I going to throw that bad pass? You're probably going to.
And then you've
got
Trayvon Diggs being OBJ's dad. You've got Josh Allen unable to comprehend how his team lost this game, even though, you know, he's a big part of it. It is
funny, LJ. We talk about, like Tony was talking about, just get your stars the ball. The Cowboys look a lot better when you're just throwing at the Trayvon Diggs CeeDee Lamb 20 times a game. All of a sudden you're like, oh, we do have a really good receiver.
You remember when the Broncos picked Judy over CeeDee Lamb? Oh man.
Yep.
Brutal.
I do.
Brutal.
Let's stay on that. Kevin, you hit it because I think the Cowboys' reasons they're successful, they're not just saying, by God, we've got to make Tony Pollard successful. They've said, forget it.
It's a good point.
Get the ball to CeeDee Lamb. We're winning ball games. Now they played, you know, come on, like pansies. But get the ball to CeeDee Lamb.
Can the Cowboys just play the New York teams?
Yeah.
Every week.
Get them to just play the Giants every week. That's what the Bills should be doing.
Well, so next week,
get the ball to you guys and let them go.
Next week, Cowboys have the Panthers, then the Commanders, then the Seahawks, then the Eagles.
They're going to rattle off 3 wins in a row. Before that Eagles game, I wouldn't be shocked if they rattle off a bunch of wins. And I'm not saying I'm going to be out on the Cowboys, but I'm waiting until that Eagles game before because ESPN is going to start running the.
Oh yeah,
this is a Super Bowl team.
Yeah, after Dak's they beat the Commanders by like they're going to beat the Commanders by like 11 points, and it's going to be like Super Bowl caliber. Obviously,
that is the Commanders on Thanksgiving Day. It'd be true. Much like the Commanders with Sam Howell. To like all of a sudden, my Thanksgiving, I'm all grouchy after a great meal.
You know what it'll be? It'll be 63-62, and the Cowboys will barely pull it off. So they're Super Bowl winning teams. That's what's going to happen. And then they play the Bills. They dominate the Bills because the Bills are already dead. And then they have to go in and play the Dolphins, the Lions, and then the Commanders at the season end. That could be 3 losses. So
the Cowboys are, I will throw this out, 4-0 at home so far this year, winning by a combined score of 160-50.
Wow.
At home. They're really good in Jerry's Palace over there. But we could also look at who they're playing in those home games. And they're a bunch of the Cowboys, as we've said, they beat the hell out of the bad teams. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to crown. If you want to crown their ass, you can crown their ass. But I'm going to wait until they
I think that's fair. They're a playoff team. We'll see what happens after.
So, LJ, I don't think he is going to finish this way. But is CJ Stroud leading the MVP talk right now?
I don't know how you could argue that he's not. I mean, I think he is right now playing the best at the quarterback position of anybody in the league, which is the prerequisite for being the MVP. I don't know that he holds on to this, but like, I mean, he's got to be top of your list. Got to be.
Yeah, I was in an argument with somebody, and I think we were in 2 different arguments where I was just saying, I do not think, my take is CJ Stroud will come back a little to earth and he will not win MVP. And I think his argument was just saying, right now, if the season ended, Stroud's MVP.
Season ends today, Stroud is the MVP. There's no doubt.
I mean, I don't know what else to say, Tony. I mean, he did have a moment in that game where he threw a bad pick, where they kind of got the Bengals on the ropes. Burrow just threw a bad pick himself. And if you're the Texans, you're like, cool, we got this game won. We just can't do something stupid. And he throws a ball across the field. And I mean, it's just, it looked like the rookie throw. I'm like, oh no. But then the very next possession, so the Bengals use that to tie up the game. And CJ Stroud drives him right down the field for a field goal. I mean, just looked like a 10-year vet doing it. I don't know what else to say besides just...
He looks professional. I mean,
Texans got a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just got a guy.
He's definitely Rookie of the Year. He could be MVP if the Texans make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because this team was really bad. A year ago, this team was really bad. Mm-hmm. And I like some of those young pieces, but Noah Brown, as a Cowboys fan, I can tell you, he's been around for a while. It's not like this is some young stud. He's not worked at a lot of places, and he's working there now. He looks really good. Mm-hmm. And then Dalton Schultz is not a bad tight end. He's nothing great.
Oh, he's top. He's top 15 tight end. But that's
Devin Singletary is a guy who couldn't cut it in Buffalo. They decided to get rid of him, and he looks great.
Yeah,
I just Stroud's not doing it. It's not like he's doing this with some amazing roster. This is a lot of CJ Stroud elevating the play of everyone.
Nico Collins was out. this weekend, and they beat the Bengals.
Yeah.
Damian Pierce was
a hot Bengals team,
and they beat the Bengals.
This isn't the 0-3 to start the year Bengals. This is Bengals playing good football.
Yeah. Yeah, they're playing really good football.
Yeah, you're right about that. You're right about
definitely coach of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been a D'Amico Ryans fan.
Yeah,
and God, I didn't know if he'd be a great how good a head coach he is. I just liked him as a player, and then I liked him at San Francisco. But it feels like and it's early, and I know sometimes we get real reactionary. But if you're a Texans fan, you got to like what between your quarterback and your head coach you just brought in. You look like you got two pieces.
Things are looking pretty good.
Yeah. That had to me, that's as good a win that there was this past weekend was that Texans game over the Bengals. Another great win, Tony. I got to tip my hat to the Browns because that game looked over. I'm watching that Browns-Ravens game. The Ravens are up 31, like 17.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of going, okay, I can probably now.
I genuinely turned that off and didn't realize that the Ravens ended up losing. That you just blew my mind.
I mean, it was kind of one of those where like, okay, even though the Ravens didn't play fantastic, I was like, okay, 31-17, Deshaun.
The Browns are doing
this game's over. Yeah. I can quit focus on this game and go over to another game that I wanted to keep up with or something. And then all of a sudden, Lamar throws a couple picks. I think one of them being a pick six. It was ball batted around, but
I guess
my main takeaway from it was Deshaun had a great fourth quarter. Deshaun kind of looked like Deshaun Watson there at the end. Yeah. I don't know if he keeps it up, but it was an impressive win nonetheless, Tone.
Absolutely. Yeah, Deshaun Watson owned the fourth quarter. And, you know, that's what he was known for 3 years ago is that fourth quarter was his quarter. And he sure did it this weekend against arguably one of the best defenses in the league. But, you know, I think the Ravens, it was more of they kind of took a deep breath and said, okay, well, who's next? And I think they forgot that the Browns can play phenomenal defense, and the pressure in the fourth quarter on Lamar, I think, really made the difference, and he didn't adjust to it. And so that pick six was, I don't call it lucky because they tipped it, but it just tipped the right direction. And so they made themselves available. They got the pressure on it, and it just was that was a great pick. But I think that the Ravens kind of let off the gas a little bit. And it was like, But that's my
issue was if the Ravens are the team that we kind of – I know for sure I was talking about it, but I feel like as a pod, we're kind of saying they're right there at the cream of the crop of the AFC. You handle a game, you're up 14.
Yeah, you got to. And so here's what I think has happened, and I think the Cowboys need to be careful about this as well, that the Ravens ran into a couple of really good matchups for them on the ground. And they became a one-sided team. They've been running the ball. And all of a sudden, Lamar, hey, we need you to pass. Like, oh, I forgot. So early in the year, he was really, you could say, man, he's really developed as a passer. When we start talking MVP, they've got to make sure they stay more balanced because of games like this. And tomorrow night, or Thursday night, huge game, Bengals and Ravens. I know we'll talk about it, but man, he better be ready to be balanced and be ready to do, because otherwise they're gonna be in trouble. They just can't be one-sided like they've been.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because I was confused, and maybe I know he came into the game with a little bit of a hamstring injury or something. That Keaton Mitchell, the new running back who kind of burst on the scenes last week, looks like a real fast, explosive back. And then this past weekend against the Browns, he starts the game off. They run like a little draw play. And he gets a 39-yard touchdown. And then a few plays later, or the next drive or so, he gets a 32-yard catch. So I'm like, Keaton Mitchell's about to have a huge game. He ended the game with three carries for 34 yards in that one catch. Like, he ended up losing 5 yards the rest of the game on two more touches. It wasn't like Gus Edwards was running great. Gus Edwards went 11 carries for 24 yards.
Yeah.
Was he hurt, or they just, I don't know. This guy looks explosive. It's like, nope, we got to get Gus Edwards back in there to average 2.2 yards a pop.
Well, I did have some investment in that ball game. So I watched a lot of it, and Cleveland, all of a sudden, and we talked about him last week. Hey, Myles Garrett's pretty damn good. And so
defensive player of the year, Myles Garrett,
all of a sudden he was getting penetration on the edge, and that shut down their run game. It absolutely, but Cleveland has enough beef in the middle where Gus Edwards couldn't do anything. And next thing you know, they can't get around the outside and have the speed that Mitchell has. And again, they had Mitchell, they had Hill, they had Edwards. They're trying to feed all these people, and they just got one-sided and got out of balance. And so I don't think he got hurt, to my knowledge.
And Tony, that was, if I remember right, Prestige Worldwide told us he liked Browns as a dog, right?
He sure did. He sure did.
Well, someone else also told us that they were not afraid about the 49ers traveling across the country going to play Jacksonville. And you were right. 34-3. The Jags don't look like they are. It looked like there's a clear level between what the 49ers are and what the Jaguars are. And I'm not saying the Jaguars are trash, but 49ers looked really damn good in that game. Everything was working. Trent Williams was back. Kittle looked good. Debo looked good. And I think, much like we talked about during that 49ers three-game skid, I don't think any of us are ready to be like, oh, I don't trust him anymore. I think we were all like, let him get healthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
NFL's a long season. Usually good teams don't lose three in a row, but shit happens, you know. And they look good. I mean, is there any other takeaway besides if they're healthy, they're going to be tough to beat?
If you had any questions to why they went and got Chase Young, they were answered.
Yeah.
So you cannot have enough depth on the defensive line. You can't have enough. And I think one of their defensive linemen got hurt during the game. They're fast. They're fast.
They were getting that. And I'm a little worried about Trevor Lawrence in that offense, but also I'm not sure because it did feel like he was running for his life all game long and ETN got bottled up.
Buffalo should have won that game last night, and that may be a season defeating game. Houston and Jacksonville this weekend, it could be a season defeating game for the Jaguars.
It's kind of the AFC South.
If Houston beats them,
good point.
And gets a game ahead on the last 6-7 games of the season, it could be over for the Jags because Houston ain't got a tough schedule. So that's going to be big. I really want to root for the Texans. It's at Houston.
Tony,
hey, me too.
Did you have any issue, Tony, at the end of the game? It was 34-3. And the 49ers run like 4 straight plays from the goal line.
Yeah.
All the other starters were out except for CMC because Christian McCaffrey was hoping to become the only player in NFL history to have 18 straight games with a touchdown. He failed to get it. Do you care? Any problem?
I'm torn on this one because in just about every other sport, they would have been doing that to set that type of record. And it's a significant record, right? That's a year and plus, right? For you to be that healthy and score that many times. But I did hate the way they were doing it. There wasn't a single starter on the field but for Christian McCaffrey. And that was stupid. You didn't get it. You had 58 minutes to get it and you didn't get it. Just take it. I'm glad he didn't get it in that situation because there had been questions about
LJ. Is it old man yelling at clouds or where do you stand?
Well, actually, I was ready to say old man yelling at clouds, but he makes a good point. If you don't have your starters out there, you're not actually trying to make it happen. So I do think that like there is something to be said. I was so mad at the Dolphins when they beat the Broncos so bad, right? That they didn't go for the worst defeat in all of NFL history. Like you've got to let your players end up in the record books. Well,
and Shanahan already pissed you off that day. Kittle
against the Broncos. Pretty much
broke the record for
at halftime.
Had like the tight end record at halftime. And they never threw it to him again. You just needed a catch. Yeah.
I think that like when your players have an opportunity to end up in Canton, let them do it. You have to let them do it. I think like, you know, this goes back to I was so annoyed at the 2007 Colts or whatever when they would bench all their players. Like, I don't know. If you've got glory in your fingertips, go for it. You got to go for it. The players deserve it. I understand what you're saying. Don't get hurt. But like also like there are moments that you will live on forever and CMC breaking a record would have been one of them.
Yeah, and they were at the goal. Like, I think if they were at the 50-yard line with 30 seconds left, he's probably out. But since they were at the goal line, they're like, well,
so then shove all your starters back out there and get it.
But my only, and I'm not even saying I necessarily hate it, but it just, especially with the 49ers in particular, we're like, it seems like every time we talk about them, we go, if they can be healthy going into the playoffs, if they can be healthy. Right. If McCaffrey cannot be banged up, if Debo, and it's like, Then what are we doing? The game was wrapped up 34-3. That's what I think. Like, you took Brock Purdy out, take out CMC.
And I think
he's really the MVP.
Pops is somebody that will always tell you this, is that a team that's, you know, not fully going out as a team is going to get hurt. And so like these situations are the times where somebody gets hurt. So if you don't have all of your backups in this situation, then yeah, you're probably, you know, you're risking a lot there. I think it's probably a dumb decision to go for it if you're not going to actually support it. That'd be my call. But you should go for it. You should absolutely get that record.
Tony, speaking of, we mentioned Stroud in the MVP conversation. When do we start talking Jared Goff? I mean, is he in that conversation or no? Because they got to win against the Chargers, 41-38.
Who had beat the Chargers?
Big 12, a Big 12 game broke out in the Charger Stadium, and all of a sudden we're just putting up points left and right. It was a fun one to watch, Tone.
Yeah, it was.
Unless you like defensive football, then it wasn't that fun.
It was, other than the fact that they score, their ground game is phenomenal.
Montgomery and both look like they could be studs.
Yeah, Montgomery could kiss my ass.
Montgomery, you're always welcome here on the JP.
So I think that if it wasn't for that, though, they're really balanced. And so he is, from a fantasy football wise, in the top five quarterbacks, but he's not lighting it up from a specific stat standpoint. I think it's going to be difficult to say he's MVP.
The Chargers just got – I would hate to be a Charger fan. They would just frustrate me to no end because you invest – I believe they've invested the most out of any team on their defense. You go hire the defensive coach, and the only issue right now is the defense and your defensive-minded head coach. Everything – like, Herbert does look like that guy. He does look like the franchise quarterback. Keenan Allen is a freaking monster. Eckler's a good running back, and you just can't stop a soul right now. At what point do you go, Staley's got to go? I mean, this guy, that's what he does. He's a defensive coach.
Go ahead, LJ.
I was just going to say, if you want to keep Staley around for a long time, you know, if you want to Josh McDaniels him, like, I'd be down with that.
Sign him to a 10-year deal.
Yeah, 10-year deal.
We've talked about it. I thought he should have been fired 6 weeks ago when we went on a fourth down on his own 25. That's ridiculous. That's a sign of desperation, Sam Pittman. A sign of desperation.
Shots fired. And, shots fired.
So so he's not a winning NFL coach. I mean, he's an NFL coach, but he's not a winning NFL coach.
And so he's a Chargers NFL coach then.
Yeah, he's perfect. Yeah, yeah. Right.
He's a absolutely. Dick Vermeil or
Marty Schottenheimer. Sure. He can win all that. Marty had a winning record, just couldn't win the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. The 2012 Chargers, I think, were the best Chargers maybe football team that's ever existed, honestly.
Yeah.
And they couldn't win
a playoff game. Shout out to LaDainian Tomlinson. Yeah.
Antonio Gates.
Yeah, it's great. There's a great team. But now there's no reason not to fire Brandon Staley. If he loses this weekend, I mean, they're still in quote-unquote playoff hunt, but if they lose this weekend and go to seven losses, there's no reason. They can't make the playoffs. They absolutely cannot make the playoffs. He needs to go.
Well, and it's the Packers. They better beat the Packers, yeah.
They better.
You're right. You're right.
It's at Lambeau. If they lose
the Packers, that's a huge deal.
Oh, it's going to be cold.
Chargers. It's not even that cold up north right now. Like, we're looking at, like, it's probably going to be 58 degrees. It'll be all right.
It's cold if you're
from It's colder than LA. Yeah.
Speaking of cold and up north, we haven't even mentioned the team that's currently carrying the longest winning streak going into week 11, and that is the Pastronaut himself, Josh Dobbs, and the Minnesota Vikings. All they do is win. LJ Dobbs is just, I think he's just a starting NFL quarterback. I don't know what the hell's been going
on. He's this year's Geno Smith, right? The guy that nobody thought could be a thing. But like, is clearly got something. And next year,
it just consistently makes little plays and stuff.
Is this not the feel good story of the year?
Yes, it is. Right?
Josh Dobbs, the player nobody wants.
Yeah.
He's on his third different team.
What, didn't his college not even want, they wanted Nathan Peterman over him in college. Like,
you got to love it.
Dude deserves it.
But no, I like Josh.
They start,
I really like
you go him. 1-4.
Yeah.
You start the year 1-4 with a great, with your team that you had Super Bowl aspirations. And then Justin Jefferson goes down, arguably the best receiver in all of football. And all you do is rattle off five straight wins, three of those being or two of those being without Kirk Cousins, mm-hmm. without your MVP candidate.
Well, and not even the first game that Dobbs played, he flew into Minnesota like 2 days before
he
the game
on Friday. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Like
he didn't even know who he was playing with.
Yeah. Like he like literally has never met his teammates. And the rookie, I can't remember his name right now, went down.
Jordan Addison.
So he had to take over.
Nor will you ever.
Oh. No, Jaren Hall, the rookie quarterback, Jaren Hall went out, yeah. and that's who he came in.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for Jaren Hall because we might. Yeah, Tony's right. A concussion is what took him out of the game, and then Josh Dobbs took that job.
It's gone.
Literally ran.
That job is Josh Dobbs now. And you know, I don't know what they look like in the playoffs, but I think they've got a shot in a week.
But they look like a playoff team, which is crazy to say.
They're in a weak division, in my opinion, and so I think they've got a shot at it. And
5 weeks ago, I would have told you there's no way this team makes the playoffs, especially now that Justin Jefferson is sitting out for 4 weeks. And I don't think there ever was with Jefferson, but there were rumors of might as well just sit him down and try to play for a pick. And all Kevin O'Connell and that team did is just
win,
put together gritty win after gritty win. And they're not just sexy wins. They're just getting it done one way or the other. Sometimes there's no run.
Assuming Josh they Dobbs, can beat the fucking grinder that is the Broncos next week, then I do.
On primetime, right? Is that Monday
that
night
is
football?
Sunday night, I think. Or Sunday? But yeah, we need the Broncos to be primetime again. That's just what we need. But yeah, assuming they survive that grinder, I think they are minimum a wild card team. Like I think the Vikings make the playoffs and then, you know, who knows what they can do because they've got athleticism everywhere on the field.
Jordan Addison and Hockenson look really good with Dobbs. And then you throw 18 back out there and all of a sudden that offense is maybe scary.
I'm really, I don't know. We'll see. I'm excited for the Vikings, but I'm not going to say too much because I don't want to.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Yeah, I think you could. We were talking about D'Amico Ryans. I think Kevin O'Connell, you could talk about him for coach of the year because talk about adversity. You cut Dalvin Cook to start the year. You don't have your number one running back come back, which looks like a really good deal for the Vikings.
It turns out that's
right
not important anymore. But
yeah. And you lose Kirk Cousins. You lose Justin Jefferson for 5 games. And all you do is win 5 in a row without your starting quarterback and the best player in the NFL, and Justin Jefferson. It's pretty good. So
they're going to compete with the Lions for the top of that division. And both of those teams probably make the playoffs. Playoffs.
Yeah. Most lovable coaches. Dan Campbell and Kevin O'Connell. You know, you could get those two guys together and have dinner, and that'd be awesome, right?
That would be a party, yeah.
Yeah.
So we go from some good wins of the week, and now I need to bring up I don't know if it's the worst loss, but it's a pretty bad one. And it's because it's got to be so. The same way it's probably just disheartening for Chargers fans to watch their football team. Man, Jets fans, like that defense once again looks like it's a playoff caliber defense. And in Nathaniel Hackett's last 17 games as a play caller,
I'm aware of this,
his offenses have generated one or fewer touchdowns 14 times.
Now, I will say the brunt of that has been in my neck of the woods. So
in the Jets' last 5 games, they have 3 touchdowns total. That would be a 72-yard run from Breece Hall, a 50-yard screen from Breece Hall, an 8-yard run from Breece Hall when the Eagles let him score at the end of the game because the Eagles wanted to get the ball back. Their offense is historically bad right now. Yet, at the end of these games, they're in it every single time because that defense, I don't know how much longer you can keep that defense playing. And I don't even know if it's all – I don't think Zach Wilson's great. But Nathaniel Hackett's got to start getting some blame, too. I mean, they just look bad all around.
Well, I think, you know what the sad thing for Nathaniel Hackett is? This is the Broncos of last year. I mean, honestly, it's like an all-time great defense with an absolutely
because y'all were. Y'all were a
offense.
Good defense, and Russell Wilson and the offense just looked awful.
He thought he had Aaron Rodgers, and now he's got Zach Milf Wilson. And it's just it's just terrible. It's terrible.
No one would wish Zach Wilson on anybody. You know, it's bad. It's a bum luck that he got him. But I don't know. If they can stay in contention, which would be really hard, who they've got coming up. But like if Aaron Rodgers could come back, they could win some games though, right? Like that defense is
nasty. At the Bills versus the Dolphins, Falcons, Texans, Dolphins, Commanders. I mean, they can hover around 500 probably, but I don't see them ripping off consecutive wins throughout.
Dolphins are the Bills and Dolphins are going to be tough. Texans are going to be. Yeah, you're right.
Falcons, Texans, Commanders. None of those are just wins for them.
Yeah, I don't see how anybody outside of the AFC North has a wild card berth.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, I think
you're straight up right.
Playing that one.
Maybe
let's touch on that AFC North for a second. How the hell is Mike Tomlin 6-3? The Steelers have been outgained every single game so far this year. Yet every single week, I'm not even surprised anymore. I'm like at one point I look up and the Packers were beating the Steelers by like 4, and I'm like, oh, this is right where Mike Tomlin wants this game to be. It's ugly as hell. It's like 14-10. And I'm just like, the Steelers are going to find a way to win this. That's what they do. I don't know how, because it doesn't even look pretty when they do it. Like, it's not like a great drive like C.J. Stroud's doing. It's like fumbling and bumbling, and all of a sudden, George Pickens is running down the field, and they're going to win.
That's the thing. Hey, Mike Tomlin, coach of the year.
No. We're not going that far.
Uncle Tony's got 3 different coaches of the year. He's going to split
the other 3 I'm down for, but this one, I love Mike Tomlin. He ain't coach of the year this year. That's for sure.
He's doing more with less than the 2 guys we talked about.
It'd be hard to have less than the Steelers have, probably. You're DeMeco probably right.
Ryans has C.J. Stroud. O'Connell has
did it in one game, but already has more touchdown passes than Kenny Pickett does in his career. Kenny Pickett's second year guy.
Yeah, but we weren't saying Stroud was this guy.
Crazy.
Even 2 weeks ago. Last week, we were saying Stroud's coming back to earth. That's what this podcast said specifically. So
I said I thought he would. Anyway, but so,
and this podcast has also said Pickens is the man. So, you know, just throwing that out there.
All right. So on the bubble right now, these are the AFC playoff teams. Are all these teams making it, and if not, who falls out, Uncle Tony? Chiefs, Ravens, Jags, Dolphins, Steelers, Browns, Texans.
Jags.
Jags fall out of that. So Texans win the AFC South, what you're kind of saying.
Yeah.
Okay. LJ?
Tell me the teams again.
You got Chiefs, Ravens, Jags, Dolphins, Steelers, Browns, Texans. Do you think those all end up making it, or did one of them fall out? On the bubble right now, if you're like, who am I putting in? You got the Bengals.
I don't believe
right
in the Browns.
I don't believe in the Browns. Did the Browns fall out?
I think they are Myles Garrett and then some last minute chicanery if they can stay into it. I just don't think the Browns are that great as a full team.
So who do y'all have jumping in? You have the Bengals jumping in for both,
easy.
Maybe? Or
I mean, who else do we got? I mean, the Broncos? The
Bills, Chargers, Jets, Broncos.
Bengals would be my favorite out of that list. Yeah.
Who would fall out if it's Ravens, Bengals, Steelers, and Browns all make the wild card?
If they all make it.
It's
number two Texans in every division. The Texans,
because right now the Steelers, Browns, and Ravens are all in.
Yeah.
So it'd be one of those AFC.
Who's
South
winning the AFC South right now?
The Jags are up by one.
I would
game
imagine.
Texans,
I feel like
but
the Texans,
have already beaten them once.
Yeah, I feel like the Texans the take Texans that over the Jags personally.
I don't know.
It does kind of feel like one of those. Everyone jumps off the Jags, and Jags have another good game to kind of. Like a little bit
Trevor
of
Trevor Lawrence's whole career, basically. Yeah. The second year.
Last year.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and pull up a line for next week, because those two teams play.
I had it wrong. They play the week after. They play Thanksgiving week. I'm sorry.
So Texans got the Cardinals, and they likely win that. And Jags got the Titans.
Yeah. They likely do, although Kyler Murray looked pretty good.
And by the way, I want to throw out something real important. Last week we asked if there was a new Call of Duty out, and the answer is yes, and he still killed it. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah. Well, I think Arizona told him, like, hey, just play Call of Duty. You don't have to show
up. Don't even worry about it.
Because he did exactly what they didn't want to do, which is win the game. They did not want to win.
Yeah. I mean,
they're like, damn it, Arthur Smith's still going to find a way to lose this damn game.
True.
No kidding.
Doofus. Shit. All right.
Do all those teams make it, Kev?
I think the Bengals get in.
So who loses?
I'm leaning towards Texans or Steelers, because I think the Steelers are, I don't know how they're doing this. I mean, they're walking a fine line right now of getting these wins. And it's kind of like, similar to the fumble luck. I don't know if they're necessarily getting fumble luck, but I just feel like
They're getting football.
These games aren't going to keep going your way at the end. You're getting tip balls where they pick it off towards the end and blocking field goals. And that's kind of what Steeler football does. I mean, that's what Mike Tomlin does is he beats you in the little
area. Yeah, get hawkish, yeah.
But I just – Every game I watch, I kind of go, Steelers are going to find a way to win this, but they don't feel like the best team on the field every single week. They're like, they're not the better team, but they're going
to
win it.
Yeah, and the problem they've got right now, I think they're just about ready to start, and it started last week. They're going to start playing each other there in the AFC North, and they may.
And we've talked about how tough that – yeah, they're going Browns at the Bengals, Cardinals, Patriots, Colts, Ravens.
I tell you what, we'll know a lot Thursday night. If the Ravens beat the Bengals, I think the Bengals are maybe in the same boat that the Bills are in, and like, what the hell are we going to do?
Well, and that's why these games are so tough. The one the Bills lost this past week, and even the Bengals losing that one, those are games I fear when the season comes down at the very end and they're one game out of the playoffs, you go, God, we should have 12 men on the field lost us that if you're the Bills or if you're the Bengals. Like, we had chances to beat in the Texans game. We should have, and we blew it at home to a rookie. And I just think, Tony, when you're 5-4 right now, those games matter. You don't have a lot of – the Chiefs got a little room. They could lose a couple and still be in the playoffs and be fine. The Bengals, because you start 0-3 – and I know, LJ, that's just what they do. They start 0-3, and they're going to get hot. But when you do that, you don't give yourself any flexibility.
No, they've got a big win. Big wins coming out of the next few weeks. They've got to.
And so we did get some bad primetime games this past week, multiple primetime games where we didn't get touchdowns for a long time. But that changes this week. We get the game that starts the weekend and the game that ends it. We get Bengals Ravens on Thursday night. Then on Monday night, you get Chiefs Eagles. Both teams coming off.
So we're not bringing up the Sunday night game.
Monday night.
I don't know. A resurgent Broncos.
the two hottest teams in football.
Vikings.
Actually, I mean, what am I thinking? These are the two hottest teams in
game
football
of the year.
Right now.
Game Minnesota. Of the year, baby. This is that the Rams Chiefs from like 3 years ago. Like, this is an easy.
Golly,
gotta watch that game.
It's gonna be some points. Yeah, turn on your VCRs. You know, if you still got one of those,
get it recorded. Yeah, get your TiVo, get it recorded.
Hey, let's.
IT needs to find what's the stat of the Broncos defense? They've allowed what in five straight games less than a certain amount of points, something like that. Less than 20, how many did they score last night? Their defense
What I want to say, this is a good time because I wanted to say it earlier, but we ended up moving on. I probably ought to apologize to Vance Joseph, and I'm going to refuse to. But like, I did say that this defense was garbage at the beginning of the year, and they have looked really good. I feel like that's all going to bounce back. But I'm ready for in about 2 or 3 weeks, I might apologize to Vance Joseph. I just want to throw that out there for everybody listening.
Okay, so we're not apologizing now.
No, I do think he's a bad football coach. But like, the defense has been playing great, so it's kind of hard to argue, you know. But,
So Tone, just for the record, not apologizing yet, but we're on watch. You know, we're on watch for maybe an apology coming. Like, you
know? I know where the button is. Apology, I know where the apology button is. Yeah.
Yeah, Vance came in the room and LJ didn't flip him off. So there's a possibility. Yeah,
yeah. We're going to be okay. Probably. We'll see.
Probably. We'll see. All right. Well, Tony, I'm pretty sure we didn't cash our parlay this past week.
We did not.
I think it might have been. Was it my fault?
I think so.
I think it was my fault.
Do you have him written? Do you have him down there in front of you? I wasn't sure if you had the list or not.
Cleveland was good. There was two of them that were not 49ers good. So it's not good. It just wasn't yours. Those two were good. I think the other two were not.
Well, that's why we give you winners this week. All right. So we're moving on. Week 11. Pick out some winners. LJ, earlier you told me you didn't know who you were going to win, and you're going to use your method that is foolproof always method. Works. Tell me what you got.
Eagles plus 2 going into Kansas City Monday night.
Eagles.
Easy. They're going to win that game. I take money line. Take money line on it. But I'm taking the plus 2.
I have a feeling that might come up from someone else in this too, but maybe not the same way. No. Maybe
what if Chiefs. So can I take plus 3 if they've got 3?
Yeah.
If I can get them at 3.
If you can get them at 3. If you can get them at 1, take them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Take any plus you can take on the Eagles right now.
Okay.
All right. Eagles plus 2, but money line 2.
Yeah, whatever. I don't care. They're winning.
Whatever. Yeah. We got to avenge that Super Bowl.
Yeah, the Kelsey brother that has not felt a win against the Chiefs is going to get one.
Yeah, well, and Travis has been out in Argentina hugging up on
this
his
is like Tony Romo with Jessica Simpson all over again. You know what I mean?
These divas over in Kansas City, you know.
Swift's going to be up in the booth.
Yeah.
It's a Kobayashi Maru.
You know, I saw this.
No win scenario for the Eagles.
I saw the Onion put out a story about how Scooter Braun is going to Broncos games, and that's why they've been winning.
If you know, you know. Uncle Tony, what you got for this week?
Okay. Here's mine, and I'll give you Prestige Worldwide. So I'm going with Minnesota.
Ooh, I like it.
The Sunday night showdown.
Yep. They're traveling.
The Pastronaut.
You're taking the, I see plus 2.5. Flying. Are you taking the plus 2.5 or what's your number?
I'm taking the plus 2.5. Yeah, I am. As good as the Broncos defense has been playing their own role, but we just talk about how much Minnesota is. And I just think that NFC North is a little bit better than that lower half of that AFC West. I'm going Minnesota, the Broncos.
And I think the Royal We don't accept the Vance Joseph defensive resurgence fully. So
there you go.
And
Prestige, believe it or not, Redskins.
Nope, he didn't take the Redskins.
No, he didn't. Commanders. I'm sorry, Commanders. My bad. I wrote down Washington. Commanders. But
so that just feels like, Uncle Tony, that just feels like the I'm betting against a quarterback named Tommy DeVito.
He's betting against DeVito. That's what he's doing.
That's fair.
I don't think that's as much of a I'm backing the Commanders as it's much of who are the Giants playing. Okay, I'll take the other two.
That's not wrong. That's not
and
wrong.
I'm not saying that's a bad method.
Well, I'm saying what number are we getting? Too. What number are we getting?
He had the Vikes too. I had them as well. So
it looks like I'm seeing Washington -9.
That's what I'm seeing too. Is that the number?
Yeah. All right. I think it's -9. I can get -9 right now.
Okay.
So, but 9, 9.5, it don't matter.
Okay. Noted.
Anything under 10, you're good.
I'm going to go with. So, I kind of want to go Cleveland.
Okay.
-3.5 against the Steelers. But as I've talked about, the Browns will be the better team, but somehow the Steelers, if nothing else, they lose by a field goal and that hook gets me. Yeah. So I'm kind of staying away. Part of me kind of want to go to the Cowboys. They're playing a bad team and Cowboys love nothing more than to beat the hell out of a bad team.
I know. They might win by 40.
They could lose. On the road. But it's natural grass.
This line's a little big, but I don't think they're a good team. I think they got the interim coach bump a little bit 2 weeks ago, and then this past week, they just beat a bad Jets team. I think the Dolphins run the Raiders out of the building. A West Coast coming all the way over to the East Coast. It's an early game in Miami. It's going to be the weather. It'll change. Miami -12 is what I'm seeing, but I think they win handily. I think coming off a bye.
I'm seeing 11.5. Yeah, and I'd probably take that as well. Yeah.
I think Mike McDaniel and his boys put up a lot of points.
Yeah, I think this is the week that the Raiders come back down to earth. Yeah. But that's a good
I just don't think the Raiders are very across. Yeah.
Early game.
And I just don't think they're East a great Coast. Team. I just.
Yeah, they're not. I mean, they're not. Yeah. They've got.
I'm kind of rooting for Antonio Pierce because I actually, and this sounds kind of weird because I know he's a Giant when he played, but I always kind of liked him. Then I liked him when he did some ESPN work. And so I kind of hope he gets a chance as a head coach, but I just think they're kind of winning off rah-rah and.
To their credit, they're doing the thing that we keep talking about. Like, even a mediocre coach should be able to figure out. You've got a great player. You've got an all-time great wide receiver. Maybe not all-time, but like league great. Like, one of the best in the league wide receivers. Feed him the ball. Easy.
Yeah.
And they're doing it. And so, you know, maybe that is the move, but I think the Dolphins have more weapons. By over 12 points.
Well over 12.
Yeah.
And Tyreek. The Dolphins last time they had a bad taste in their mouth because they lost to the Chiefs last time they played.
That's right. Yeah, I think so.
The AFC West is a weird beast to the Dolphins, and they're ready to take it back to them for sure.
Yeah. Josh Jacobs scares me in that game. If the Raiders can control the clock, might be a little too much. But Miami's, they're really fast. And Devon Achan.
He should be back, right?
Should be back. Yeah, he's practicing.
The old Aggie. By the way, rest in peace, Jimbo Fisher. Don't.
he didn't die. He's just getting paid a whole lot of money.
Yeah, he's doing okay.
My dream. LJ, yeah. My dream is to be a fired college football
oh
coach.
Oh my God. So did you, I saw recently, what was that LSU Orgeron? Yeah. Where they said, we're going to fire you, but we mean to pay out the rest of your contract. And he said, which door do you want me to leave through? yeah, let's go.
Okay. You want me to go?
Yeah, he did sound like that.
With Ed O, after LSU fired him, the way buyouts typically work, you get a big chunk of change, but if you take another job, you null out the rest of your buyout, so they don't have to keep paying you.
Right.
But somehow Jimbo Fisher got the Aggies to sign this deal where it's all guaranteed, baby, no matter what. So he's getting a $76 million buyout, and he could take another job tomorrow, and the Aggies are still going to pay him every dime of that $76 million.
Did you see the 12th Man Foundation paid them like, I think it was $120 million at halftime of the game before he was fired? So they gave him enough money to fire him and also fire the next guy.
Well, that's just, which Texas A&M does have dumb money as far as some of the boosters and the oil money they have. But it's funny, like you hear the, and we're not going to get too far into a rabbit hole of college football coaches because then we'll end up talking Sam Pittman for an hour.
Yeah,
but
we don't want
you hear the Razorbacks, one of the sticking points of why they may or may not fire Pittman is because right now he's due a $16 million buyout. So between $16 million buyout and then the next coach you bring in, you're looking at $25 million maybe. And so the Razorbacks are like, oh, I don't know. And A&M just wrote off a check to Jimbo for $76 million. And they're actually winning a few games this year, unlike the Razorbacks.
They actually dominated this week.
Yeah, that's crazy to win the way they did. And then you're like, no, don't worry, Jimbo. You're still gone, buddy. Like, you are fired.
Team that beat us, they fired their coach. Mississippi State beats us 7-3, and they fire their coach.
Everybody that's beat Arkansas and this year is firing their coach.
But either way, LJ, my dream in life is to be, I want someone to pay me millions of dollars to not work.
Yeah.
Golly.
I'm working on it. I'm trying to get there.
So bad.
I don't know what to do yet.
That's what we and a couple of coworkers looking, we're like, we didn't negotiate our contract very well. Yeah. Where's our buyouts? We don't have any buyouts. All right. I think that does it for this week's episode. Oh, by the way, LJ, I just throwing out there, Bill Belichick now has a record of 82-98 as an NFL coach when Tom Brady's not on his roster.
I'm glad you brought this up. I do want to throw out one more time. Bill Belichick is basically Jeff Fisher.
Well, his winning percentage without Tom Brady is worse than Rex Ryan. It's worse than Lovie Smith. It's worse than North Turner, Jack Del Rio, Dave Wansett, probably Jeff Fisher as well, because Jeff Fisher is Mr. 8-8. So he probably is sitting around 500. Yep. So I'm not saying Belichick's the bad coach, but he sure hadn't won a lot without number 12
taking snaps. The Patriots have got to change some things, or Bill Belichick needs to go somewhere else. I don't know. He is not the coach that he has been billed as. I think that's a fact. I'll stand by it.
I'm going to say this, and I hope nobody takes this the wrong way, but I think the reason Bill Belichick has to go is because his son's helping him coach special teams. Come on, man. If that's the only reason you're coaching, don't coach anymore. Yeah. Don't do it.
You're not coaching because you love it anymore. You're coaching just to have your kid with you.
If you want to just hang around with your kid, get you a charter boat and go out there and catch lobster.
That said, Lifford, if you want to keep paying for this podcast to stay on the air, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it.
And if you got a job that'll pay anywhere near what it pays to be the special teams coach, I will take that job and do whatever you say. So.
There you go.
All right. That does it for another week of the. Wait a minute. What? Uncle Tony, what are you drinking on tonight?
I was going to say, hold on.
We jumped.
So I'm double fisting drinking tonight, but it's in small doses. So once again, I'm into our 20 whiskeys that changed the world. Thanks again to those lovely people that gifted that to me last year. So tonight I'm drinking two Scotch whiskeys. One is an 18-year-old and one's a 10-year-old, just to see, hey, does age make a difference? I say no. But well,
age is nothing.
Stop.
So I had so first one was Talisker.
Leonardo 18. Caprio says no, it doesn't matter.
R. Kelly sang that song.
Talisker 18. It's an Isle of Skye, a Highland Scotch whiskey. Beautiful, very complex, but really sweet to start. Very interesting for an 18-year-old, but very nice. I recommend it highly. And then the next one was one that everyone can probably get. It's a good price point for everyone. Springbank.
Springbank 10, and it's much more of a milder scotch. It has a little bit of Campbelltown scotch,
a little bit
of peatness to it, but not too much. I liked it. I liked them both. I'm going to lean towards the Talisker. The extra 8 years might have just made a leap.
I was about to say, yeah, it sounds like age doesn't matter.
So
yeah.
You like them. You do like them 18 or older. Is that what I'm hearing?
Let's get out of here.
I'm not going to talk about my Balvenie double. I'm not going to tell you how long it is.
All right. Anyway. That'll do it for this week's episode. Before we say something that gets us in trouble, we will be back next week with more. Guys, peace.
Oh, that was fun.
Awesome.
Miss you, Pops. So miss good. You, Pops. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Well, LJ, he's not, or unless you
I'll put it in just so he knows. I'll send it straight to him.
Oh, okay. Hey, I sent him a text, so hopefully he takes it in the jest that it was meant.
I saw that. At first, I thought you were confessing you weren't going to be on the podcast, too.
He didn't even respond, did he?
Yeah, no, he didn't. I ate all the chips in the house because I'm too damn tired to do a podcast, and I know why. Because
this is going to be an LJ and Kevin pod, because that's going to get weird.
We love you, Liv.
Yeah, we do.
Get back.
Join us. Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.